We're back here on 560 WQAM. Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour. Greg Likens here with you. Dan Day as well on the other side of the glass. We'll be taking up until 10 o'clock tonight. Big thanks to Adam Beasley for joining us last segment. Did make us a little late getting this hour started, but that's all right. We got some good stuff from him. As ironically, coincidentally, how about the fact that Beasley was out at Oakland Raiders minicamp practice today, and then while we were on the air, at the tail end of his interview, I literally look in my Twitter feed, you know, kind of updates on its own, and I see that the NFL official Twitter account has tweeted out that the Oakland Raiders will be featured on Hard Knocks on HBO starting on August 6th. So could not have picked a better team. Now, as Bees was mentioning briefly, there are some limitations in terms of which teams are eligible. I don't have them all in front of me, but rookie head coaches, they typically do not feature. They've decided not to do that now. If you remember when the Dolphins were featured, Joe Philbin was a rookie head coach. So they put that rule in place after the Dolphins were featured, which was a bit of an embarrassing saga for him and the Dolphins based on what we saw there. And certainly in hindsight doesn't help either once we know that the team wasn't all that successful under him. But anyway, I digress. The other limitations, I believe, a team that's been on it recently can't do so. And, you know, there's a number of different things. So there were just a select few teams that were eligible this year. The Oakland Raiders were one of them. And there are storylines galore for that football team. I still say that doesn't matter who is featured. I always watch that show. It's the ultimate reality show because you can't sugarcoat it or create all these storylines, right? I mean, you watch actual reality shows or reality television, and a lot of this stuff is pre-planned, coordinated. It's kind of fake drama that they try to stir up or they encourage the participants to make it over the top and all this other stuff just for shock value and to get people to talk about it and to watch. HBO's Hard Knocks is literally players out there fighting for their jobs and their employment, and they document guys getting cut who may never get an opportunity to play football ever again. See their dreams completely dashed. And at the same time, you see guys fulfill their dreams. And you have those opposite extremes that absolutely make the show both, you know, compelling, but then also both like highly entertaining and enjoyable. And then also it just leaves you with a pit in your stomach and you feel bad for some of these guys because you get to know them, they feature them, you see their families, all this other stuff. So I think that show is terrific. And then you add in personalities like John Gruden as the head coach, Mike Mayock, who we all know as the NFL Network draft guru, but we've never really seen what he's like in real life, right? So, like, we'll get to see, like, Mike Mayock, who has to be Mr. Goody Two-Shoes on TV as far as the language is concerned. I wonder if he gets worked up and he's dropping F-bombs, right? Because, like, they don't edit all that stuff out. It's HBO. So that part of it is interesting. Plus, you get a little glimpse of the dynamic between Mayock and Gruden. And then on top of that, the players, Derek Carr, we don't know how long he's going to be there with the Raiders organization, if this is his last season before they try to do something different. Antonio Brown, are you kidding me? After forcing his way out of Pittsburgh and all of that drama that surrounded him, that continues to surround him, how about Richie Incognito? We just talked about him. And, you know, he was on Hard Knocks the first time with the Miami Dolphins back in 2013. So I think this is going to be absolutely fascinating to see how this goes. I guess, or was it 2012? I think it was 2012 because that was the year that Tannehill was drafted. I remember when Tannehill was on that show, and they're in the quarterback room. There's so many different things that were memorable, but this is one that just popped into my head. And they were asking him about like the teams in the various divisions, and he did not know which teams were in what divisions in the NFL. And he's like, oh, no, I grew up as a college football fan. I didn't pay attention to the NFL. It's like, I don't care if you don't pay attention to the NFL. You at least have some semblance of a knowledge of which teams are in which divisions if you're a football player aspiring to be a professional. So, anyway.
But I'll tell you, though.
I can't wait. But I can't wait, Dan.
One of my top three favorite teams, the Oakland Raiders. I got the Saints, of course, where I'm from, the Dolphins, where I live now, and the Oakland Raiders. If there is a team built for that show, not just this year, but every single year, it seems, the Oakland Raiders slash whatever, Las Vegas Raiders, the Los Angeles Raiders, there just always seems to be drama and craziness going on with Oakland. It's just in their culture. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, with the impending move to Las Vegas, I'm sure there's going to be a fan storyline element to this where they talk to a bunch of the fans, but hey, how you feel about the team leaving town, all of that. So that's going to be absolutely terrific. Kudos to the NFL and HBO for making that happen. All right, if you're just tuning in, we spent a lot of the first hour talking about the NBA Finals. Certainly it's notable because the Warriors stayed alive with a 106-105 victory over the Raptors in Game 5 to extend the series to a Game 6 coming up on Thursday night. I want to talk more about that in a little bit, but Kevin Durant and his injury has absolutely overshadowed everything. You heard us play that Charles Barkley soundbite in the last hour in which he said that he blames the Golden State Warriors for allowing Kevin Durant to play, that they basically needed to protect him from himself. And, my thought process on this is, at times you could certainly look at a situation and say, yes, the player needs to be protected to a certain degree. And most of the time we bring that up within the NFL context because the injury's there. There's a history of players playing through injury. And on top of that, you got guys, telling stories about shooting themselves up, numbing different parts of their body so they can play through it, and how they've had the after effects of it years later, and how their foot or their arm or their leg has never been the same because they sacrificed for the team. But in this case, Dan, we're talking about the NBA Finals. We're not talking about like a regular season game. We're talking about elimination being faced by this Warriors team, the potential breakup of a dynasty if they don't win this series. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is as high stakes as it gets from a sporting perspective in the NBA. And so with that as the thought process, like, I think that regardless of any other circumstances, wouldn't everybody be surprised if Kevin Durant didn't do everything he could to be out on the court for his team? Right? Like just absolutely push aside any narrative of him looking ahead to free agency or any narrative of him not being a team player. Like, I always thought that part was overrated. But what is genuine is that this guy, regardless of any other circumstances, like most champions, like most greats would, wants to be on the court to help their teammate at a time in which they need him, and at the time where the stakes are the absolute highest.
Let's be honest. Not only was he needed last night, they probably don't win last night without him.
I'm with you, Dan, because he scores those quick 11 points in his 12 minutes on the court. And at that moment, like the beginning of that game, watching that Golden State Warriors team, you're like, oh my gosh. Like you actually got physical evidence of why anybody who said that the Warriors were better without Durant are absolutely insane, are a bunch of crazy people, are a bunch of people that we should take away their media credentials for even entertaining that thought or bringing that to the conversation. Because you saw it, like everybody on that Warriors team played with more confidence. It was free-flowing. They looked terrific. And Durant appeared as if there was nothing wrong with him, right? I mean, granted, we didn't see him for very long, but he hits the first three-pointer, and I was like, oh, man. The second one, the third one, and I'm like, oh my gosh. The thought started creeping in my mind, like, where has he been? Like, how come he didn't come last game, right?
I was at a restaurant back in Louisiana watching the game, and I was telling people, Dono actually said it on the midday show, he still has a chance to win the MVP of the NBA Finals. Right. And after those first three shots, I'm like, he's going to show up on a white horse, steal the show, take home the trophy, then name his price with whatever he wants in the world as far as basketball or advertisements. I was sold on that.
Yeah, it was trending in that direction. And then at 9:46 mark of the second quarter, it all came crashing down, and I feel terrible. I mean, I have ripped Kevin Durant. I'm notorious for ripping Kevin Durant on these airwaves here for the last few years because I did not agree with his decision and did not like the way he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. But last night, I felt terrible for him. I felt really bad for him, and I don't know how anybody could feel otherwise, because you just never like to see that. And if an injury is going to keep him out, then so be it, but you don't want to see a guy have to be out because of a serious injury, right? Like, I've always, this is a kind of a sports talk radio topic, but the idea of rooting for an opponent to get hurt, like I've always said that you don't do that. At the same time, if somebody's going to get hurt, you hope it's not serious, right? And so that's why this was extra, extra, just really, I think for all of us, difficult to watch, because you know, when Durant went out with the calf strain, there was that initial scare that potentially it was an Achilles, and we found out it wasn't the case. And so the idea of him missing a few weeks or a month, it's like, okay, I think we can all deal with that. He can deal with that. It's not ideal for them, but certainly it's better than the alternative. And the alternative happened last night. We saw the most serious injury that you can get on a basketball court, you know, outside of, you know, somebody's heart stopping, God forbid, right? But like when it comes to the Achilles injury for basketball players, that has always been thought of as the worst, and it's going to take the longest to come back from. And so that's where you really feel bad. And that's where also there's all this intrigue now about what happens this offseason and all of that. Now, we got a bunch of texts that are rolling in here. 560-22, Kendall Toyota West, Kendall Toyota text line. I do want to read some of those. But when we come back, we've gotten some texts about this, and I want to expand on this. But you see what happened last night, a coaching decision that could very well decide the NBA Finals. We'll talk about it next here on QAM.
Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. A very good Tuesday night to everybody. Greg Likens here with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. As we continue on, we've talked a lot about the Kevin Durant injury, and there are more elements to that which we can get into as the show goes on. But I want to focus in on the game itself last night and what I thought was a pivotal moment in the contest. And we gotten some texts about this that have come in on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. I want to read a couple of texts before I delve right into it. Our buddy Frank is tuning in. Frank, always good to hear from you. He says, wow, 13-0 for the U.S. women. Once my team won 10-0 when I was in school, Coral Gables beat South Dade. Says also, don't all these teams need to qualify for the Women's World Cup like they do in the Men's World Cup? They do. And Thailand qualified. But Thailand lost 13-0 today to the U.S. women. And so it goes to show you that there are some very good women's soccer teams. But there's also quite a divide between the haves and have-nots in women's soccer. And so there's a lot of countries that are still catching up to the U.S., to Germany, to France, to Netherlands, to Canada, to England, you know, and some of the powerhouses in women's soccer. So phenomenal effort today by the U.S. women, leaving no doubt whatsoever. On the Hard Knocks conversation, we do have a text in ranking their favorite moments from Hard Knocks featuring the Dolphins. Number one, Vontae Davis, I want to speak to my grandma. Yep, that's a classic. Number two, Ireland, we have a bunch of fours, fives, and sixes. We need a one, two, or three at wide receiver. Yeah, why you would admit that on Hard Knocks, I don't know, especially when you know your players are watching, right? And then number three, Philbin more concerned about debris on the field than the trash playing on the field. How about the group of guys, Bush, Dansby, going to Philbin to handle issues in-house, and they eventually all ended up getting cut. Dolphins have been a joke. Yeah, like, I thought that Hard Knocks told you everything you need to know about Joe Philbin, and yet he still lasted into a fourth season as a head coach. That was his rookie season as a head coach. So, you know, that tells you all you need to know right there as well. Somebody else brings up a topic that or at least a point that I think is a really, really good one. It says, why on earth did they have him jump ball against Gasol to start the game? In reference to Kevin Durant, very surprised they didn't ease him into things. Yeah, I'm with you. First, the Warriors say that there's no minutes restriction. We find that report out, you know, within the hour before the game. And then all of a sudden, it's jump ball. And I know they're starting a small lineup with Draymond Green at center, but have Draymond Green jump against Gasol. Why would you have the guy who's got a calf/Achilles problem, you know, pushing off right away before, like, you know, I know they warm up before the game, but it's like right after they do the national anthem and the introductions of the lineups. It's like, why on earth would you have him start the game doing that?
No restrictions.
They should have had Steph Curry of all, you know, like anybody but Kevin Durant do that. Anyway, okay. Now, we've gotten a few different points about this. And so to our texters who brought it up, I appreciate it, and I am going to get into it right now. Last night in the game, As you know, Golden State ended the game on a 9-2 run, and that was after Kawhi Leonard reeled off 10 straight points in a minute 45 second span. And with 3 minutes and 28 seconds remaining, he gave Toronto a 103-97 lead and all of the momentum in the world. If you take a look at what happened then, there was an absolutely inexplicable timeout called by Nick Nurse. Like, seriously. And I don't say this in hindsight, like, oh, man, now that I know the result, I'm not playing the result here. I'm sitting on my couch watching this game, and I literally said out loud to my fiance, who was half watching, half doing something on her computer, I said, why are they calling timeout? And I was like, just astounded. I was flabbergasted because Nick Nurse calls his timeout. Now, Leonard goes on his run, and then the Raptors get a defensive stop and a rebound. They had possession, a 6-point lead, with 3 minutes and 5 seconds left in what could have potentially been the clinching game of the NBA Finals, and the momentum was absolutely out of control. The crowd was going nuts. The Warriors seemed deflated and exhausted, and then Nurse calls a timeout. Not because they were in trouble, not because there was a potential loose ball, jump ball situation. They called a timeout to maintain possession. No, he called a timeout, and it ended up being back-to-back timeouts. They went to, you know, a commercial break, come back, and another commercial break because it was back-to-back timeouts to let his team rest. Now, this is what he said after the game. Now, we're going to play a soundbite in a moment, but I'm going to read what he said about this specifically. He said, we just came across and decided to give those guys a rest. We just thought we could use the extra energy push, end quote. Now, he also said this after the game about the 6-point lead with 3 minutes to go. Take a listen to Nick Nurse.
In this day and age, I think, you know, up 6 with 3 minutes to go doesn't mean a whole lot. You got to keep playing and getting good shots and keep guarding.
And I don't disagree with him about that with the 3-point shooting. But the point being, you have the momentum on your side. The Warriors have just proven over the last couple of minutes stretch that they cannot stop Kawhi Leonard, who is feeling it. And even if you think he looks a little tired, well, guess what? I'd much rather you be going against the tired Warriors in that condition, because even if the Raptors looked a little worn out, we all saw it. The Warriors not only looked worn out physically, mentally, it looked like they were all realizing they're on the verge of losing the NBA Finals. It was bad enough that they lost their best player in Kevin Durant, and they're still dealing with all of that emotionally. But you could just tell, I mean, the crowd was going crazy. The environment was phenomenal, and the Warriors were missing shot after missing shot, and then they can't play proper defense at Kawhi Leonard. It was all leading to a point where if I'm a coach in that situation, even if my team looks fatigued, I look across that other bench, and the Warriors, I think, had one timeout remaining at that point, and the Raptors had 4. And so what are you doing helping them out with a timeout, let alone 2, so that they can regain their composure, collect themselves, and figure things out? Because it's a classic scenario where if you're the team with the momentum, you keep that momentum going. You don't do anything to stop it. Now, if Steve Kerr wants to use a timeout, that's his prerogative. But don't you dare give them a free timeout, because they're the ones who need it. The Raptors didn't need a timeout. They'd just gotten a defensive stop. Kawhi Leonard's gone for 10 straight points on his own. Now, you know, it was, I think, 12-2 run overall, because Draymond Green had an ugly-looking wild hook shot in the middle there, too. But 10 straight points for the Raptors by Kawhi Leonard, I just don't get it, because you look at Nick Nurse calling that timeout. After that timeout was called with 3:05 to go in the game, they were leading by 6. The Warriors scored 9 points on 3-for-3 shooting, all 3-pointers from that point forward. The Raptors scored just 2 points on 1-for-6 shooting and 0-for-3 from downtown. That was the game. And the sequence that occurred, you have Thompson out of the timeout, make an easy 3-pointer, wide open 3-pointer, thanks to a pick by Draymond Green, wide open. That's an easy shot for him. Lowry misses an open 3 at the other end. He was wide open too, and he comes up short on that. So you let him rest his legs, and he still shoots short. So how did that pay off? Basket interference call against Cousins, which actually provided like a free timeout for everybody because it took forever, and that was a questionable call. Lowry then has the boneheaded turnover, pass into the backcourt, which Kyle Lowry, I know, played a good game, and he's played a good series, but to me, all Kyle Lowry is ever going to be is like good to very good. He's never great, because he is prone, every single game to make some sort of stupid decision, whether it be a turnover, whether it be a bad shot, or more likely in this series, a bad foul. And like he just has these lapses in the game where he can look great, like the ultimate floor general. And then at other times, you're like, what on earth are you doing? And he had one of those moments in the final 3 minutes when they're trying to hold on to win a championship.
He's just not a superstar. Let's just put it like that.
He's been an all-star, but you're right. He's not at that next level. And so you have that turnover. Then Curry hits that rainbow three-pointer coming off the pick to tie the game. Leonard misses a three. Thompson three-pointer after that. Golden State leads 106-103 with 56 seconds left. And I know that I heard folks after the game, including Doris Burke, say, hey, Nick Nurse knows his team as well as anybody. He has made some unconventional moves already in this year's postseason, and they paid off for him. You know, you can't criticize him too much. But you know what I say? I say that this was the opportunity for the Raptors. The, you know, all along, we've talked about it being a foregone conclusion for the Warriors to win the world championship. They're going to win the NBA Finals. We've said it for over a year. And the only way they weren't going to win is if there was an injury that occurred. And Kevin Durant's injury popped up not once but twice now in this postseason. And unfortunately, the way it happened last night. But if you're the Raptors and you defy the odds, you defy conventional wisdom in this matchup, and you take a 3-1 lead, and you're at home, and you have a 6-point advantage after losing, you were losing most of that game. The Warriors played well most of that game. They give up the lead. You go up by six, have all the momentum in the world. I not only look at this as a call by Nick Nurse that cost them the game, we could be discussing that moment in a few days' time as the reason the Raptors didn't win the NBA Finals. I know that's dramatic, Dan, but I'm like looking at it last night. You could not have asked for a better scenario being at home in a situation in which you're trying to eliminate your opponent. You gain all that momentum back. Kawhi Leonard is having his Michael Jordan-esque moment there. And then all of a sudden, Nick Nurse is like, you know what? Timeout. Let's all just take a deep breath here, and let's just absolutely kill the mood in the room.
It just seems like the Raptors, what they've done right this series, any chance to get an advantage, they've punched Golden State in the mouth. And Golden State has had to kind of wobble and recover. Last night was their chance to really drive the dagger in, but they didn't. And that is the difference between a coach who has been to the NBA Finals and hasn't. Things kind of sped up, maybe. He started thinking, whoa, 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 this is way above my head. Steve Kerr, maybe, he's been there before, says, oh, let's not call a timeout. Nick Nurse maybe does call the timeout. Things are going a little too fast for he and the team. Maybe costs you. What happens if Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shoot lights out these next two games?
You do have to believe that the Warriors, based on that win, going back home, final game ever at Oracle Arena, I mean, they're going to have all the momentum now on their side. And so, yes, I still think, I mean, the Raptors have won two games at Golden State already, so you can't put anything past them. They are capable. At the same time, though, you just feel like this was an absolutely enormous missed opportunity for the Raptors. And yes, some awesome resilience and toughness on display by the Golden State Warriors, but Nick Nurse, man, what on earth are you thinking? Like, again, if it's a scenario in which, you know, even if it's a tie game, even if it's, you know, you're down a couple points and you want to call a timeout, regroup, I get it. But the fact of the matter is anybody, like, read the room. Like, Nick Nurse, hypothetically, like, you imagine, like, if you're at a great party and everything's going terrific. The DJ's playing all the music everybody likes. There's a real rhythm. There's a vibe. There's a flow. Everybody's having a great time. And like Nick Nurse is like your drunk friend who stumbles his way in and all of a sudden disconnects, you know, the speakers, right? Like he walks over the cord and then all of a sudden the music stops. And like it's like the literal record scratch on the party. It's like, oh, what happened? And then, you know, he's there. He's like, whoa, what did I do? Like that's Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse killed the party inside and outside the arena last night in Toronto. They were ready to blow the top off that place and celebrate a championship for the first time in Toronto Raptors history and the first time in the city of Toronto's history since the early 90s with the Toronto Blue Jays. And Nick Nurse decided, you know what? Hey, if we don't take the timeouts, we're going to lose them. Well, you don't need the timeouts if you're ahead at the end of the game. And guess what? I bet you the likes of Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Norman Powell, Danny Green, whoever's out on the court for you at that time, they will gladly rest up the entire offseason. They don't need 3 minutes of extra rest in the biggest games of their lives.
You might get a little adrenaline rush, too, playing for an NBA championship.
Right? If you know with 3 minutes left, that's the season, and you guys will be crowned champions. For most people, that's all you need to know. Like, you don't need an extra sit down on the bench. So to me, again, I try not to be hyperbolic about things, and I hope I'm wrong because I'm rooting for the Raptors, but we could be discussing that moment as the moment that Nick Nurse cost the Raptors the entire championship, the series, not just the game. One of our texters says, Nurse's terrible momentum-killing timeout last night reminded me of Joe Philbin's timeout versus the Packers allowing Rodgers to regroup. That's a great example. Absolutely great example. Another one says, reminded me of Joe Philbin against Aaron Rodgers. Do you think he also got a little queasy? Oh, my gosh. I'm with you. Remember when that happened? Oh, because not only did Joe Philbin call the timeout and then admit he was queasy, but then also Aaron Rodgers pulled a Dan Marino fake spike to beat the Dolphins in Miami. Oh, that was painful. That was so tough. My goodness. We got another text that says, I would fire that coach for that timeout. That was the stupidest thing ever. Got another one saying, Nick Nurse, is that where you're going, Greg? Classic case of Monday morning quarterback gibberish. This man coached his team to 57 regular season wins. He has his team playing in the NBA Finals. He had to get Kawhi a rest, who had scored the previous 10 points and was gasping for air. You were ready to celebrate? Not. Bang. Reggae man. You usually text in with some great points, but Nick Nurse blew it last night. He absolutely blew it. He dropped the ball last night. He did. Why on earth would you call a timeout? Like, it defies logic. Anybody who's, you don't have to be a coach before. If you watch games on a consistent basis, you know, in football, it's similar. Like, if you are an offense that is humming along and everything is great, your two-minute drill is working out well, the defense is on its heels, you don't call a timeout and let them collect their thoughts and kind of hit the reset button. You don't. On the other side of things, if you're playing defense against a team that is running the two-minute drill and they don't have any timeouts left and their clock is their enemy because they're working against it and they've got to, you know, get a certain number of yards in a certain amount of time and they can't stop the clock outside of killing it down by spiking the ball or getting out of bounds, in no circumstance do you then call a timeout to help them out. And that's what Joe Philbin did in the example that our texters are providing. Last night, if you're Nick Nurse, it's the same thought process. You have all the momentum. They can't stop Kawhi Leonard. And even if Kawhi Leonard is tired, I'll take Kawhi Leonard is tired over the tired Warriors who are trying to stop him because it didn't seem to be affecting him too much. On either end of the court, the Warriors were cold. And that timeout absolutely switched everything. And again, I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like this could be a defining moment in the series. And not in a good way for the Toronto Raptors. Let's come back. We're going to get some more text messages. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. We've got a lot more to get into, including the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team and the impressive victory. I do want to talk about the outrage about the Toronto fan base. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Stay tuned here on 560 WQAM. Radio.com. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens here with you on this Tuesday night. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Dan Day joining me as well on the other side of the glass. We'll take you up until 10 o'clock. As a man, so much to talk about in the NBA Finals. Game 5 that took place last night with the Warriors fending off elimination with some help from the Raptors, right? Oh, man. That's the way I look at this. I know we've talked a lot about Kevin Durant's injury and all this other stuff, but my goodness, Nick Nurse, can't you just get out of the way? Your team was ready to win this one, and you decide to take the fateful timeout, and everything changed after that. A 9-2 run after that timeout with 3:05 to go. that finished the game for the Warriors in their corner and to their advantage with a 106-105 victory. So you got to give them credit. They showed some championship mettle and toughness and resilience, but at the same time, you felt like that was the Raptors' opportunity to absolutely close this one down, and they could not take advantage. Okay, with that being said, we now have a ton of people chiming in via the text line. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach the show. One of our texters says, Greg, you hit the nail on the head with that analogy. That timeout was almost as bad as Dallas's timeout in 06, LOL. All right, reference to the 2006 NBA Finals, Dallas and Miami. Always like that. Somebody else says, Nurse didn't go 1-for-6 at the end of the game. That's true. The players have to play, but, you know, you look like even like with Eric Spoelstra, there have been instances with him where you watch and he just lets the guys keep playing, right? It's like once you have that momentum building, once a rhythm has been developed, once something that is happening out on the court that the other team can't figure out, you ride that as long as possible until you make them adjust to what you're doing. And Nick Nurse gave Steve Kerr the opportunity to make those adjustments, to get everybody to, like, literally, it's a great way just to hit the reset button. It's like, okay, guys, we got 3 or 4 minutes here. Take a deep breath. The place is going nuts, but we're not out of it. We got two of the best three-point shooters in the history of the game, and we're only down 6. We got 3 minutes. That's a ton of time for our team. And so it's like, okay, put that in perspective. Here are a couple plays we want to draw up. By the way, defensively, this is what we want to do differently. We're going to double-team Kawhi Leonard, and which they did brilliantly on the final possession of the game. And so, you know, it worked. And Nick Nurse is sitting back and like, well, at least my guys are rested. For what? What do they need to be rested for? You're telling me Kawhi Leonard was tired? The guy only played in 60 games or whatever it was during the regular season. He had this maintenance program going. He doesn't need rest. Somebody else says, I like this. There's some texters that love to text my show and just make fun of me, which I appreciate. And I think I probably continue to encourage them to do so because I read their text. It says, Nick Nurse looked as clueless as Likens coaching the team. Hey, maybe that's why I'm sitting here and not on an NBA sideline, let alone a basketball sideline. Although I even know that I would not call a timeout in that situation. Reggae Man, I believe, texts back and says, Greg, what do you expect me to say? You hate the timeout. I love it. Was telling my dad, Curry and Clay are resting. Here comes trouble. However, I predicted trouble for the Raptors in the next three after the Warriors game 4 loss. Okay, so you weren't surprised ultimately at the outcome. That's fair. Reasonable minds can disagree on some of these things. One of our other texters says, Raptors are choking dogs that can't close out games. Series should be over, but they handed the Warriors games 2 and 5. Yeah, I mean, game 2, I said after the fact, that could be one where they regretted the way things ended. However, then they go on the road and win at Oracle twice, and it's like, okay, I guess you can excuse a loss at home in game 2 to go up 3-1. Somebody else says, to add insult to injury, did Nurse have a timeout left with 15 seconds to set up a final play? I believe he had a timeout left, if I remember correctly. They did not call the timeout, as our texter's referencing. They called that offensive foul on DeMarcus Cousins, which, by the way, was an obvious call. DeMarcus Cousins clearly moving on the screen and lowers his shoulder. It's like, dude, what are you doing? And so he allowed them to set up the final possession there where the Raptors could have won, facing a one-point deficit, 15 seconds left or thereabouts. And, yeah, at that point, Nick Nurse let him play. You know, we knew what they were going to do. You could make the argument they could have called timeout. At the same time, you knew they were going to get the ball to Kawhi Leonard, and they should have known that the Warriors knew that's what they were going to do, and they were going to try to stop it. And so Kawhi Leonard didn't do the wrong thing giving up the ball after getting double-teamed. At the same time, to the texter's point, maybe Nick Nurse draws up some other action there that could, you know, if they go earlier. That was the thing that bugged me. By the time they actually initiated the offense, there was only time for like a quick pass off to a Kyle Lowry and one, you know, desperation shot. If they go early, if they start right away because you're down one and it gives you the opportunity potentially on a miss for a tip-in, an offensive rebound, that's usually the way you go. Like if it's tied, you hold for the very, very last shot. if it's a one possession game, then you try to go a little earlier. Say, try to get a shot up with 7, 5 seconds left, and then at that point you have an opportunity for Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka or whoever's in the game that's around the rim to potentially tip the ball. Now, this comes out of left field. Somebody here says, I need you or somebody at WQAM to set me up with with Doris Burke immediately. I think Drake, you got to get in line. I think Drake is all over that already. Not literally, but if you remember, like, Drake one time a year or two ago wore like a Doris Burke shirt or something like that that had her name on it, and he like tweeted about her and all this other stuff. So yeah, everybody likes Doris Burke, but I don't have those kind of, I can't pull those kinds of strings. I don't know Doris Burke, and I quite frankly, I don't know you either, so I'd feel uncomfortable setting you two up because I don't know either of you. I believe she has a family, by the way. Somebody else says, Greg, quit crying about Nurse already, for goodness sake. Hey, man, I hope I'm wrong, but if this thing goes to Game 7 and the Raptors can't pull it out, I'm going to bring it up next week. I'm telling you. Inexcusable. You don't call a timeout there. You don't. Our buddy Dom V chimes in and says, Greg, what's up, man? Nick Nurse looked like Mike Monaco trying to talk to a girl in the club during that timeout. Okay. All right. Let's take a timeout. What do you say? We're going to do our own thing here. We don't have all sorts of crazy momentum going right now, so we can call a timeout and take a break and get you ready for the 8 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, I do want to talk, put it in historical perspective, what the U.S. women were able to do in the World Cup today. And also, I want to talk about the fans in Toronto, because there's been a lot of backlash about fans cheering when Kevin Durant went down with the injury. We've got some sound from DeMarcus Cousins about that. We're going to get into all that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay tuned here on 560 WQAM.